Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
If you had your Bibles tonight, go to the book of Psalms and the 48th division of Psalms. And I'm going to try to get through this tonight. And I'm going to try to preach it, and if the Lord give it, if I can get it out the way the Lord give it to me, y'all in trouble. I'm just picking, y'all are in trouble. We'll give you a little something here that the Lord give us, and maybe we can do a little shouting tonight for the Lord. And I just want to give you a pick-me-up. You know what? I know it seems like we've turned the corner in this COVID thing, and it seems like COVID's behind us, but it just seems like devil is trying to stay on some people's back. You know, it feels like devil's trying to rob us of some joy. It feels like the devil is wanting to throw us down. It feels like the devil is just wanting to crawl up on us and make me want to go crawl up underneath a juniper tree. And that's what it seems like the devil's wanting to do here. But you know what I want to do? I want to come to you in the middle of this week and remind you of how great our God is tonight. How great our God is tonight. So if you find your place, would you please stand with me? And we're going to read Psalm the 48th division of Psalm. The Bible says here, great is the Lord. Can I say amen tonight? Great is the Lord. What better message could I bring to you in the middle of this week? Right here, what is it? It's the ninth day of March in 2022. The Lord is great. The psalmist right here is trying to tell us something. The Lord is great tonight. So look what he says. The great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, and the city of the great king. God is known in her places for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold on them, took hold upon them. There in pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah, stop and think about that. God will establish it forever. We have thought of thy love kindness, O God, in the midst of the temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. Verse number 14 says this, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Jesus, Lord, I thank you for what you do for us tonight, God. God, I pray, God, you'll touch us tonight, God. Give us the strength we need, God. I pray, God, you'll guide our words, God. Guide our thoughts, God. Help us stay focused on your word tonight, God. God, you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, God. And God, I'm clinging to that verse tonight, God. God, I just want to lift you up tonight, God. I want to praise your holy name tonight, God. God, I don't deserve the breath that's in my lungs, God. God, but I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son to Calvary, God. Thank you, God, for the blessed hope we have tonight, God. Thank you, God, for giving me that hope and the peace that's settled deep down in my soul tonight, God. God, I thank you, Lord, tonight. And I love you tonight, God. And God, I pray, God, if there's somebody here lost underneath the sound of my voice, God, tonight, they'll hit an altar and get saved, God. Get gloriously saved tonight, God. And God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If I could title anything tonight, I would title it this, Great is the Lord. Can I just tell you tonight, I just want to say it again, Great is the Lord. I don't think some of you is on board with me tonight. Great is the Lord tonight. You know, Brother Robert, the Lord is great tonight. I can't think of anything else to say tonight, but the Lord God Almighty, he's great tonight, church. He is great. The Lord is great tonight. And I was thinking about this, and when the psalmist began to pin these words down, he was thinking, what am I going to do to catch their attention? What am I going to do? And he said, forget my abilities. Let me just look at the Lord. Then he said, great is the Lord. And so I want to give you in this midweek meeting this week, and tonight, I just want to give you some hope tonight that the Lord is great tonight. It don't matter what you're facing. It don't matter what you're going through. It don't matter what you've done today. It don't matter what sin that you woke up in today. It don't matter one bit. The Lord is still great tonight. The Lord is great tonight. When I was reading and trying to study this psalm, Brother Jeff, I don't have the knowledge as some men do, and I try my best to ask the Lord to give me wisdom, and He does every time I ask. And I started looking at some what other men thought of the 48th division of Psalm, and there wasn't a whole lot saying. There wasn't a whole lot said about it. Of course, Spurgeon always has something to say. If you've got his book on David's, his psalm on the book of the, I forget how it's called now, but his book on the Psalms, it's really, really good. And so he had something to say about it, but it was a lot to do with historical. And I love history, but I bore people with history because I geek out on it. And so I try to refrain away from it as much as I can. I'll give you a little bit, but I try to refrain away from it. But when I was studying this out, a lot of people would talk about the history of it, and then nobody would agree. I've not seen a lot of people agree of who this was wrote to. We know it says up there that it says a psalm for the sons of Korah, but that the sons of Korah can span generation to generation to generation. I mean, it's a very broad explanation of who it's to. So I don't know who it was written to, but I got a feeling that the Lord knew that sometime around this first week of March in 2022 that I was going to stand and be looking for something to preach. I was going to be feeling like Satan was trying to rob my joy, Brother Jeff, and that I was going to need this psalm. So I don't care what the headline says. This is a psalm that was wrote to me tonight. This was a psalm that was wrote to you tonight. The Lord is trying to speak to us tonight and tell us some things that He is great. When Russia invaded Ukraine, I have never seen more videos come out of nuclear war than I've ever seen before. And we realize that, and it is pretty fascinating when you start studying how big the bombs are that they've created now. I think it's fascinating. They're huge. They say like the biggest one they got now, if it were to go off, it would create a crater that Mount St. Helens would fit in. That's how, they just say how big it would be. I just can't wrap my head around that. But can I tell you something? God's great tonight. The Lord is greater than any nuke that they can think of dropping on Him. I could imagine what it's going to be like the day when at the Battle of Armageddon. They're going to aim all them missiles at Him. And He's going to speak words. And they're all just going to crumble. They're going to blood is going to throw the horse's bridle. And just by the words of our great God tonight. I don't think you're wrapping your head around how great our God is tonight. How great our God is. I want to break this psalm down. If I get through it all, I don't know if I will or not. But I want to break this psalm down, and I want to tell you some things about it. I want to look at the first three verses. If I don't get past that, that'll be okay. But I want to get through the first three verses real quick. And we'll see what the Lord has for us. First three verses, let me reread them. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of a great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. When I was thinking about these first three verses, there was one thing that came to my mind. And y'all are going to be real surprised when I tell you what my point number one is. It is the greatness of God. The greatness of God. Church, I just want to tell you tonight, God is great tonight. He's left me speechless with how great God is. He has left me speechless with how great He is. Psalms 139:6 says this, such knowledge is too wonderful. For it is high, I cannot attain unto it. He's saying the knowledge of the great high God is so much, I can't comprehend it. I can't get it in my mind of how great God is. And if I can't get it in my mind, I can't get it out how great God is. I believe the psalmist was the same way. One thing that I kind of agree with this, and I could see how it go a different way, but some believe this psalm was written right after Hezekiah prayed his great prayer. When Hezekiah prayed and 180,000 Syrians led by Sennacherib and his king. 180,000 was on the verge of overtaking Jerusalem. And they were fixing the next day. He had already wrote a letter. And the next day, he was going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. Well, the death angel came by that night and destroyed 180,000. And when they woke up the next morning, they didn't hear war chants. They didn't hear the battle. They didn't hear the army coming. What they heard was silence. God silenced the enemy. And some say that this psalm was written sometime after that. And it is some of the things in this psalm is referring back to that. When you read it, I could agree what they said. But regardless of when it was written, there was a moment in this psalmist's life when they realized that they were nothing. When they realized that they were just a peant. When they realized that they couldn't do nothing on their own. They had to turn their full trust and their full faith to one and one only, and that is the God of Jacob and Elijah, the God that created everything. That's who they're going to have to turn their faith to. That was who they were going to have to turn their faith to, was God. Psalms 145 says this: great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is this: it's unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. So I want to look at his greatness tonight. God is limitless in all he knows. He is limitless in all he knows. Put this in perspective. What we realize in our lifetime is this moment that we live in right now. Right now, the only thing we can focus on is March 9th, 2022 at 7:27 p.m. That's all that we can see. That's all our mind can focus on. But when God sees it, he sees the whole picture. He sees past time, present time, future time, all at the same time. That's what he sees. We call this his omniconscience. He's omniconscious. That means he is always conscious. We have to be in a state of conscious state to be alive. If you're not conscious tonight, you're probably not breathing. You're not with us tonight. There's times I've come to church and I was there, but I was not with you. I was there, but I wasn't there. You know, I came in with other things on my mind. I came in with the fact that tonight's the season one episode of Survivor on CBS. We get home tonight, we're going to watch Survivor. Well, I've watched every episode for 20 years. I've watched just about every one of them. So tonight we get home, we're going to watch. I would come to church and have things on my mind. I'd come to church, have the ball game on my mind. You know what? I was the one time that would go and say, Duke beat North Carolina. It wasn't this past weekend, but it happened in the past. And I'd look and I'd say, whoop, my Colts are winning. Can I be real? Can I just be honest with you? I've checked the score. I've checked the score. You know what we should do when we walk through those doors right there? I don't care what your job is. There ain't nothing more important when you walk through those doors, then what takes place in this church house? If it ain't, what's the point of coming? It's the most important thing that takes place is right here in these four walls at that very moment. It's the most important things. But anyway, God is always conscious. There is nothing that he doesn't not already know. He's never needed a counsel. He's never lacked wisdom. No one has ever been able to say they gave God advice. He knows the answer to every question asked. He even knows the questions that you should have asked. Think about that for a minute. God is so great. He is so great tonight. God knows everything that we need. He knows everything that we should be asking for. He knows everything that we should be praying for. He knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need tonight because he's great. We often ask this question, why God? Why God? And there's nothing wrong with that. I promise you, when we were losing that baby like a couple years ago, I promise you, I sat on my bed and I said, God, why? I didn't grab my Bible and start reading a psalm, Brother Jeff, I didn't go praise God for it. I was asking God why. But a lot of times we ask God why, but God already knows why. He understands even when we don't. We can't see the end, but we can feel free to doubt. That's what we have a freedom to. We can feel free to doubt, but God already knows the end. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we're facing. Nothing caught God by surprise. God invites us to trust Him. God taught us, Solomon said this. He said, lean not on thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I said this Sunday, kids, I couldn't help but think that Solomon, as he penned those words down, he couldn't help remember what his daddy told him. I couldn't help believe that he probably just sat around and David looked at him one day and said, son, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I believe David may have even told him that. I believe reason Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, because David taught him right. David raised him right because he began to trust God in his life. God has He's limitless in all He knows. God is measureless in all He does. This is the omnipotence of God. There is nothing that God cannot do. He's not limited in His ability in any aspect. He has no Achilles heel. He's never felt threatened. God's never gotten better because He's always been as good as He's ever needed to be. We don't always understand His ways, but we will be assured that He is still trustworthy tonight. God is great tonight. He knows it all. He knows what He's going to do. He knows what He has done. He knows what He's doing right now. You just need to learn to trust Him. You just need to learn to trust Him tonight, church, and realize that God is great tonight. God is great tonight, church. Look right here. He's limitless in all He knows. He's measureless in all He does. But He's ceaseless in all that He is. He's ceaseless in all that He is. That's what we call our omnipresence. God is God everywhere at all times. He is 100% present here and there. He does not spread Himself too thin. He's never taken a day off. He's always been God. He's never needed to be anything other than God. He doesn't have to stop listening to my prayers in order to help you with yours. He multitasks. He loses no productivity. He's never changed because He never needs to change. Just like the rest of us, we go through changes. But God is changeless. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God that looked at Adam and Eve and instead of thumping them off into eternity, He forgave them. The same God that could have thumped Cain off into eternity for killing Cain still gave him a chance. The same God that walked on the waters is the same God we serve today. The same God that was lived 33 and a half years is the same God we serve today. The same God that hung there between heaven and hell for innocent, He hung there on a cross. That same God is the same God that we serve tonight. The same God that they laid in the tomb that night is the same God that we serve tonight. And the same God that resurrected on that third and glorious morning is the same God that we serve tonight. Can I just tell you this? The same God my grandpa told me about that gave him all his needs is the same God that's going to give me all my needs. The same God that led our men that started this country to the greatness that it is today is the same God that'll lead some men of God to keep this country going until His return again. He's a great God tonight. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He changes not. Think about this. God is limitless in all He knows. God is measureless in all He does. And God is ceaseless in all He is. Look at this. God's greatness is untouchable. God is awesome because He's sinless and He's endless. He's holy. He's eternal. Stuff in the world exists according to His timeline. Things we buy new come with warranties. Things we buy new come with a manufacturer's tag on it. Things we buy today wear out and break. But can I tell you about God? He ain't never wore out. He ain't never rusted. He ain't never got tired. He ain't never been wore out. That's the greatness of our God tonight. You know, if you count on me, every once in a while, I'm going to get tired. You know, every once in a while, I'm going to give out. I'm going to get down, and I'm going to want to give up. But God not one time has ever batted His eye in the direction of giving up. He's not one time turned His head to forfeit. He's not one time reached to, He don't even own the white flag. But He's never reached down to wave the white flag. Not one time. The only thing He's ever done has been faithful to give a man of God strength to hold up the bloodstained banner one more time. He's been faithful to give them the strength. He's been there for them, and He'll be there for us today. God is untouchable. He is without element of corruption. He is without sin. He will never tire. He will never faint, never falter, never fail. Things of this earth have expiration dates. They go bad. They rot. They rust. They need renewed. But not God. He's eternal. He has never had a beginning, and He will never see an end. He is eternally incorruptible and untouchable. Tonight, God, in His greatness, there's none can stand to Him. I think about some of the richest people in the world, and I think about how much money they own. He can't hold a candlestick to what God is today. He doesn't. His greatness tonight, church, His greatness is untouchable. It's a why go anywhere else? Why find yourself at the end of a bottle? Why find yourself at the end of a TV screen? Why find yourself at the end of a cigarette that you think you're addicted to? What finds you at the end of anything that keeps you from God? What finds you there when God is so untouchable? His greatness is so untouchable. There's nothing holds a candlestick to Him. He's the greatest high you can ever have. Being drunk on the Spirit's the greatest drunk you'll ever feel. His greatness is untouchable tonight. Look at this right here. His greatness is unmatchable. God is great. His position is peerless. And His power is priceless. You may ask yourself, who but God? Who but God could beautifully design His creation? Who but God could spread out the enormity of space? Who but God could set in motion the events of your life? Think about that for a second. Do you realize what it took for you to be in the position you're in? I watched a video, and I think I said this a few weeks ago, but I watched a video the other day, and the guy was talking about how you had to have two parents that met. Those two parents had to have two parents each. That's four. Then you double that. That's eight. Then 16. Then 32. And we're not that far back in years. Imagine if you were to go back 400, 500 years. And how many people it took for God to perfectly match them up. You may say, well, I was conceived in sin. God still had His hand in it. Still a miracle from God. Still a miracle from God. God had a perfect plan for you to be exactly where you're at today. Think about that for a minute. Just pause and wonder of how many people it took for God to control in order for you to sit on this church pew tonight. It's unmatchable. It's unmatchable what God can do. I think about how the Lord's worked in my life. I can tell you right now, if in 2016, if it was up to me, Brother Jeff, I'd have sat at my home church and done what I thought the Lord wanted me to do there. You may not know the story, but I was, Brother Robert, the youth director there. I was the sound director there. I mowed the yard. I was the usher. My daddy was a big part of the church. My grandpa helped start the church he was younger during those days, but he was a part of that first group, and my whole family was about that church. And you know what? What I wanted to do was just stay right there in my comfort zone. What I'm talking about is what the Lord's done for me to put me where I'm at today. I was content in staying right there. But God sent me a little redhead. Thank God for it. Sent me a little redhead my way that stripped my legs and got me where I needed to be. And put me, not that I was under anything wrong. The teaching and doctrine that I was at was perfectly fine. But the problem was I was in my comfort zone. And I was never going to get out of that comfort zone until I got out of it. Because I was always going to be content just to do what I was doing. I was going to get consumed with doing the good thing and miss the best thing for my life. I was content with that. Perfectly content. Then lo and behold, we had to have a revival that broke out. 209 get saved, and well, my wife being one of them, and then the Lord called me to preach and put me on a pew right back yonder, right behind where Olivia's sitting right now. Put me on a pew, and I said, I'm done. I'll preach, but I'll never help young people again. That's what I thought was, Brother Jeff, I'm just being real. I said, God will never let me help them again. I'll never get to be a part of their life again. Well, I just want to say I look back. And the greatness of God, it's unmatchable. There's nobody could have planned it the way God did. There's no way God could have helped me the way He did. There's no way God could have put my life together like He did. If man would have been in it, it would have been destroyed. If I'd have got in it, I'd have been destroyed. If you would have got in it, you would have been destroyed. It's just how unmatchable God's greatness is tonight, church. He's great tonight. If ain't nobody getting help out of this tonight, I sure am. God's greatness is unmatchable tonight. Who but God is beyond our limits, our measure, our understanding in every way? Who but God would use his ultimate and absolute power for the good of his people, not for his own greedy gain. I'm just here to tell you, if I had God's power, I'd probably do some things for myself, Brother Jeff. If we was all honest, we'd probably all do some things for ourselves. But God said, no. I tell you what I'll do for myself. I'll put on the form of a servant, and I'll go and I'll lay down my life, and I'll die for these people who don't even love me. I'll die for the ones who will never say yes. I'll die for the ones who will never accept me. That's what God done. Could have been greedy and held it all to himself, but he said, I need some more people. I want some people that will willfully serve me. God's greatness tonight is unmatchable. Let's look at this. He's great in his deliverance of his people. He's great in his deliverance of his people. He delivered his people from the penalty of sin. Think about Adam and Eve. They said, right then, God could have called it quits, but he delivered them from that penalty. He said, I'm going to set into plan an action that'll set for the perfect bloodline, my bloodline, to go through David. I'll pick David. I'll go through the house and lineage of David. And I'll find myself in the belly of a lady named Mary and her husband Joseph. That's what he said. He said, what I'll do for 33 and a half years is I'll just tell them how great I am. How great I am. Can I just say this right now? That's not a question. That's a statement. How great thou art. It's not a question. It's a statement. He delivered his people from the penalty of sin. Look right here. He delivered his people from the people of this world. He delivered them. I think about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got saved. I believe he got gloriously saved. He's in heaven tonight. I believe it. I believe he'll be with us in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar, I believe I preached a message called, you like this, Brother Jeff, The Tomb of the Unknown Servant. And Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God. He never knew it, but God died for his people. He died for the people of this world. You know what I was when I was born in this world and I reached the age of accountability? I became a people of this world. I became a people of this world. I was hell deserving. You said, didn't you get saved at 6? Absolutely, I got saved at 6. Brother Jeff, I was hell deserving. You know, and I realized I was lost, and I rejected God. I realized I was lost, and I rejected God. And can I tell you here tonight, folks, if you're here underneath the sound of my voice tonight, and there was a time in your life that you realized you were lost, and you never accepted God, you're as lost as a drunkard on the street. You're as lost as a drug addict over there somewhere. You're as lost as the murderer there sitting in prison. You're lost tonight. But his greatness will deliver you from that sin, from that penalty. But he said, delivered us from the penalty of sin, from the people of this world. Look right here. This is a good one. He has delivered us from the power of Satan. Can I tell you what you need to do tonight? There's some of you in here that's had joy, and I've seen it. You've had joy unspeakable. But Satan has jumped on your shoulder, and he's tried to rob you of your joy. He's tried to get people, let me rephrase that, he's tried to get Christians, Satan has tried to use Christians to work in your life to make you doubt what God's done for you, and he's robbed you of your joy. He's let you be tired, rob you of your joy. Can I just say, I realized something growing up that I didn't know when I was younger. Tired is a real word. Can I just be honest? I say it jokingly, but at the same time, Brother Brian, I get tired. Can I tell you, I get tired of the baby crying. Can I just be real with you? I get tired of more clothes got to be washed. I get tired in the summertime, and I look out and the grass starts to grow, and I got to go mow it all over again. You know what? I get tired when the alarm goes off at 5:30 in the morning. I don't want to get up. I get tired. It's a real term. I didn't think it existed years ago. I could go like the Energizer Bunny. Never stop. But I realize that tired is a real word. Can I tell you what Satan will do? You will really be tired. And Satan will use that and rob you of your joy. He will rob you of your joy. He will rob you of your joy. But can I just tell you tonight, there's a greatness of God that you can look at Satan when he tries to rob you of your joy, and you can say, get thee behind me, Satan. Can I just tell you something about Satan? He's all big and bad. And he is. until you say Jesus. And he can't even stand in his presence. He can't even, his demons can't even work in his presence. If they stay there too long, they know they're going to be bound up and thrown in a bottomless pit. They know the Bible better than we do. His greatness tonight will deliver us, his people. Look right here. I see his great and his duties. God never had to make humans. Never had to. He had the angels. He had the angels. Holy, holy, holy. Surrounding the throne. He had those. But you know what? They were created to do that. They were made. All they ever known was to worship God. All they've ever known was holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. That's all they've ever known. God wanted somebody to make a choice. He wanted me and you to willfully say, I want to praise God. I want to praise Him. Great is our God tonight. The Lord has, He never had to leave heaven. The Lord never had to die. The Lord never had to resurrect. The Lord never had to leave earth. The Lord never had to cast to come back. But God has chose to do every bit of it because of His greatness and His duties. He's got some duties tonight that He's got to perform, and His greatness will show in them. I see this right here. He is great in His deliverance of His people. He's great in His duties as God. But can I tell you another thing He's great at? He's great in the dilemmas that He places us in. God has put you where you're at tonight. He didn't catch Him off guard. He didn't catch Him by surprise. The dilemma that you face tonight has never caught God off surprise. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're thinking right now. Because of His greatness, He will deliver you from your dilemma. Look right here what He says in verse number 2. He says, beautiful for situation. You know, when you study out in the military tactics, Jerusalem's in a bad place. They're not in a way that they can attack their enemies, where they're very vulnerable in where they're at, in their geographical location, especially when it comes to nuclear war and stuff. Like, they're very vulnerable in where they're at. But God says, beautiful is their situation. And you know what? We're very weak and frail individuals. Every one of us in here are nothing without God. We will break. If God left us for a millisecond, we would crumble. The presence of God were to leave us for a millisecond, we would crumble. We are very vulnerable in our situation. But God looks at us and He says, as beautiful is your situation. He said, because you're vulnerable, I can show my greatness. If we were strong and we were mighty, what would it really show for God? But when God takes the weak things of the world, He chose me, this weakling, and He makes me strong. You know what we get to be one day? We get to be kings. I ain't got time to go into it all, but we get to be kings. You know, there's a reason He says, Lord of lords and King of kings. There's a reason He says that. And it's a lowercase K and then a big capital K. There's a reason. You should study it out. But He's great in all that He does. He'll deliver. He'll deliverance of His people, His duties as God, and His dilemma as His people. Whew. Man, I got so more we could talk about right there. But let's look. Let's look right here just a second, and we'll be done. I got so much I got to skip over some things. But we see the greatness of God. But then right here we see in verses 4 through 8, I see the goodness of God. And man, I could preach an hour on the goodness of God. He is good tonight, church. Not only is He great, but He's good. The goodness of the Lord. Verses 4 through 8, as you go to read them, you can see how the psalmist is talking about how the enemies were to come up to Israel and they would just tremble in fear. King Sennacherib, this is a little history lesson for you. King Sennacherib, he had journals that he wrote. And it talks about all of his great big victories, and it also talks about his great defeats. Some of his even worst defeats of when he lost to Jerusalem. But when you go to read them, they can't find them. He didn't write about them. The defeat was so great that when he talks about Jerusalem, he's speechless at what happened. God took one of the greatest leaders this world had ever seen in King Sennacherib. If you study him out, I could geek out on you on some history about him, but he was a great, great leader of his day. But God made him shake in his very boots. He was so scared, he wouldn't even talk about Israel in his writings. Others did. There was some others that talked about it. But King Sennacherib, he made him shake in his boots. And the psalmist talks about it right here. Look right here. He says, let me just read it off. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. The very thought of going against Israel scares them to death. Scares them to death. You know what scares me? Is when our country don't back Israel. That's a scary thought. And that's a scary thought when our nation does not back. Thank God we do. And I believe our past president set some things in order for us to be able to do it by setting the embassy back in Jerusalem where it belonged. And he took what he knew what he was supposed to do to take care of the nation of Israel. But the you know, you ever thought about this? Oh, Putin over there, he don't want to mess with Israel. It'd be the last thing he does. It'd be the last thing he does. He may trigger the end of the world, but it'd still be the last thing that he does. You know, it'd be the last thing that he ever wanted. They fear Israel to this day. They may never admit it on the media, but inside they tremble at the very thought of what God will do to them if they were to touch Israel. I got to move on. We look at this right here. We see the goodness of God. We see his protection against Satan, Satan's soldiers, and sin. We see his promises, his promise of forgiveness, a forever home, and a faithfulness to us. Look right here. I see the gladness of Judah. I'm trying to get somewhere real quick. I see the gladness of Judah in verses 9 through 13. Not only were they realized that God was great, then they realized that the goodness of God and how good God really is. And just can I say tonight, church, God is so good to us. You ever had somebody just treat you so well? I mean, they were good to us. You know, you ever heard, you said that, Brown, out preaching, Brother Jeff. They were good to us. It's nothing compared to what God is to us. The greatest gift anybody ever gave to you, and you just thought, man, they treated us so good. They were so nice. God will treat you even better. God will treat you so good that you would think that you are his only son. That's the goodness of God. Now we see the greatness of God, the goodness of God. But then we're out here in verses 9 through 13, we've seen the gladness of Judah. We have thought of thy love kindliness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well with her bulwark. Consider her praises, that ye may tell it to the generation following. We need to be glad because of his greatness. The greatness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, but we need to be glad that he is. You know what we need to do when we walk in on Sunday morning? When we walk in on Sunday night, we walk in on Wednesday night. We should walk in with a smile on our face because God is good to us and he is a great God. Can I tell you what you should do in the morning? You should shock your boss man to death or boss lady. Shock them to death. Walk in with the biggest smile on your face and just look at him and say, God's great. God is good. God is great. God is good. God is great. God is good. You know, there's times in my life where I just didn't feel like worshiping God. And I wish back now, Brother Aaron, that I would have went back and I'd have just said, God is good. God is great. God is good. God is great. God is good. God is, can I tell you why? Because our flesh is weak. Our flesh wants to pout and whine. We want to fall on the ground, put our thumb in our mouth, and get in fetal position. What we want to do. But there's a greatness of God. I got to get somewhere and I'll be done right here. We see the greatness of God. We see the goodness of God. We see the gladness of Judah. Look right here. I see guidance in verse number 14. For this God is our God. For this God is our God. I about couldn't get past that. For this God is our God. Just the Psalms has really gotten to be really good for me. Every page, Brother Jeff, it's different than any book in our Bible. It's completely different. Every turn of the page, you're another story of the greatness of God. And you begin to read and you begin to study. Just a few Psalms from here in Psalms 51, we read about David, who we know sinned against God. And he had lost the joy of his salvation. And he prays one of the greatest prayers in our Bible, Lord, restore the joy, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's just a few pages from here. We get over to Psalms 22, and we can see the most vivid picture of Calvary in our entire Bible. Psalms 22, study it out. Get over there to Psalms 23 and learn about our shepherd. It's every page, there's something else about how great and how good our God is. But can I tell you this? That's about the book of Psalms. But if you open up to Genesis and begin to read, you're going to find the greatness and the goodness of God. You go to the book of Exodus, you're going to find the greatness and the goodness of God. Go over there and flip. Just go to a random book. Go over there to Obadiah. You're going to find the goodness and the greatness of God. Flip over there to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And say, may I say amen to the greatness and the goodness of God that you'll find in the Gospels. Go follow Paul's life through all of his writings, and you will find the greatness and goodness of all. Go right there to the book of Revelation, of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Begin to read page 1 and page 2 and page 3 and page 4. All the way over there to the last words that are penned in our Bible. And can I tell you what you're going to find? You're going to find the greatness and the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is great and good tonight. And we can be guided by that. And that is this God. I'll get to my point in a minute. That is this God that is our God. I don't think you're getting it. That is, this God is our God tonight. That same God that walked on the water is the same God that is our God tonight. The same God when the children of Israel were facing the Red Sea and He parted it and made one of the greatest aquariums the world's ever seen. That's our God tonight, church. That God is our God tonight. We can walk out of here with our heads held high because that is our God tonight. Let me finish the verse. I didn't even get to the best part. Forever and ever. All of that greatness and all of that goodness is forever and ever, church. He will be our guide even unto death. He will be our guide. You think, how does it get any worse than death? If you'll come and get us a verse of some song, Miss Madeline or Miss Tina, you're closer, I'll let you come. I ain't going to be like Brother Allen and say, don't play. It helps me when you play. But, you know, death can sometimes be a scary thing. You know, one fear that I have is a fear of the unknown. And we don't know what the process of death is going to be for us. We don't know which way we're going to die. Whether it be the way of the grave or the way of the Lord coming back. Second, I believe we're at the last moments, the last seconds, and I know you've heard it your entire life, of the second coming of the Lord. He's coming back, church. He's coming back. But He says right there in that psalm, even unto death. You know what? The other day when Brother Craig took his last breath, you know, I couldn't be with him, Brother Aaron. You know, even if I was there, I could have held his hand. And maybe sung some songs with him. Maybe prayed with him a little bit. But there was a friend that he had that he settled back in there in January of 2016, somewhere, probably right in here somewhere where the wall used to be. I can't remember. Somewhere right in here, January of 2016, he got it settled. But you know what? I don't even, Brother Jeff, that's great for Brother Craig. That's great for him. But you know what? For me, as a six-year-old little boy, I got it right. I got saved. And God's going to be with me even unto death. When I draw my last breath and I take my last step here on earth and my first step into glory, can I tell you what I'm going to be saying? God is great.